I find Angela Burnett quite amazing because you can see when she's up here, she's really, really nervous. But that actually doesn't limit her because she chooses faith instead of nerves. And isn't that what Christian life is about, to choose faith instead of nerves? And actually, I'm nervous. And each time I come to, before I preach, I always think, why have I done it? Why have I said yes? And my heart's just pounding there as Angela's speaking. I can't listen to a word she's saying because I'm pounding, thinking, oh, I'm not sure I really want to be doing this. But at the same time, I really love it. It's a really strange feeling. But if you've ever thought, oh, I've never preached before because I'm super nervous, maybe you should think about preaching. Maybe you should come up here one day and speak, because sometimes we need to stretch ourselves in faith to overcome nerves. And you can see that Angela does that, and I'm actually doing it now. I put on a good face, but I'm bricking them inside. Okay, so this is the second part of giving. I'm not going to talk about money, so you can relax. James did that bit. But what I am going to talk about is being a giving person in our attitude, in who we are, in our time. Maybe ask yourself this question: am I more of a giver, or am I more of a taker in life? Just have that in the back of your mind. Am I more of a giver, or am I more of a taker? Because you know that when you're around a giving person, you feel better for it, don't you? Once they've left your presence, you feel better about yourself. If you're around a taker, once they've left, you feel drained. I hope you don't feel like that when I'm with you. When I see you, if we have a beer or something, I've left you, and you're like, oh, it's knackering. I just saw Gary, it's so tiring. Because it's my desire to be a giver. And the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than receive. And the challenge is to live a life in response to the ultimate giver. That's Jesus. The ultimate giver. He's a giver, he's not a taker. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He spent his life for them, for us. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is what Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 says. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The ultimate gift for somebody else would be to give your life in their place, for their freedom, to die a death that they deserved. That's Jesus. We survive because he died. The wages of sin is death. Because of that gift of his life, we are declared not guilty. That's glorious. He took our punishment. That's a giver. If you take the punishment of somebody else, that's not a taker. That's not the life of a taker. That's the life of a giver. He took the punishment that belonged to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God gave. Would I give Ellie to exchange her life for somebody else? No chance. I wouldn't do it. I'm not that sort of giver. I'm okay, but I'm not like Jesus. I don't give like he gives. Let's read Psalm 103, starting from verse 10. You might be familiar with these lines. I think some parts of the Bible we're familiar with because we love it. We keep going back there. And you've probably heard these lines again and again because it's good to go back there. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We are not treated as our sins deserve. That's the life of a giver. If we could just grab hold of that one verse, we are not treated as our sins deserve, it would change our lives. God is love, and love keeps no record of wrongs. God really hasn't got this black book with all your sins in it. But it's even better than him giving us the forgiveness of sins. You see, he's such a giver. He just doesn't stop there. See, it requires quite a lot of us to forgive somebody else's sin, doesn't it? But he doesn't stop there. He's such a giver that he makes us right with God. We are not viewed anymore in our sinful state, but we are viewed as Jesus is viewed, because Jesus took our place. That's the glory of the gospel. I'm not viewed in my sinful state anymore. It's lovely, isn't it? Why wouldn't we want to tell people this? This is what we've got. This is what belongs to us. Listen to Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's glorious. It's wonderful. Listen to this from Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Wow. You mean me in my state can be presented before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy? That's the gospel. That's the glory of it. That is God's generosity. That's the life of a giver. He exchanges it all for all of our crap. He exchanges it all of his goodness for all of our rubbish. He gives it to us and takes our rubbish. That is the life of a giver. Let me explain it. This is how it works. I've got a little demonstration. Hold on, I'm going for the loud voice now. Out of that, how do we treat one another? Do we treat one another wearing these t-shirts? Tim, just put that on for me. Quite a good chance here, and I had to wind him up. Bit of payback. Come and stand up here with me, Tim. If we are called to be like Jesus, and Jesus treats me like this, why would I treat Tim like that? Makes absolutely no sense. If we are called to be like Jesus, then we treat each other wearing white t-shirts. And if you don't, you're not following Jesus. You can sit back down. And with great joy. Not just faultless, but with great joy. In all our sin, including our future sin, If it has already been forgiven, then why wouldn't he treat us as faultless anyway? If he has died for our past, present and future sin and we've been forgiven, why wouldn't he treat us as faultless? Well, he would, wouldn't he? It's only if you believe that he hasn't that you treat yourself in this way. If you don't believe the message of the gospel. And so then, if we are following God and we're called to be like Jesus and follow him, then we should be seeing white t-shirts. So how can we challenge sin and see white t-shirts at the same time? I don't know, ask God. He does it, doesn't he? He seemed to do it the woman caught in adultery, didn't he? He treated her as a white t-shirt and then he said, go sin no more. So he can do it. So let's treat each other as wearing white t-shirts. If God doesn't treat people as their sins deserve, then we don't either. He doesn't just treat us as faultless when we're being well behaved. That defeats the object. He doesn't just treat us as faultless when we're being well behaved. That defeats the object. He treats us as faultless in the middle of the sin-filled life. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. That's what the Bible says. It's in the middle of it. It's amazing. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm loving it. Okay, so John 15, verse 12 and 13 says this. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. So here's the key verse. Love each other as I have loved you. That's the call. That's the challenge. Listen to the words of Philippians 2. Again, a familiar passage starting at verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So you can't do this, treat other people in white t-shirts unless you're humble. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, and that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do everything without grumbling. Crikey. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. If you're a giver instead of a taker, I guarantee you, you will shine. Wendy shines. Angela Burnett shines. Julie Bowman shines. If you are a giver, you will shine. If you're a taker, you won't. It's as simple as that. When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. I've just realised I've read a bit that Joey's meant to read, so that must mean that she's meant to come up now.
I'll read it again. It's by Henry Nguyen. When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. How many times have you had someone needy with you and you think, I just need to fix it, I need to give them a solution, I need to help to change their life? Well, we were talking this week about giving and about people who give, and I really felt God wanted me to honour somebody who I feel has really given in this way, who is just an amazing listener and shares pain and touches wounds with people, and that's Vanessa. And she's got a welcoming home. How many people have been welcomed into Vanessa's home, into the gate, Tim and Ness? You've bought that place to welcome many people who have got broken lives. And also, as I was entering motherhood, I went to Ness and said, Ness, you're an excellent mother and you're someone I want to learn from in the way that you give to your kids. But more than anything, Vanessa is an exceptional listener. And I come away feeling cherished, challenged and empowered. And she is a giver.
Do you know what? Jesus even gave when he was tired. He sat down by the well, tired. And a Samaritan woman came to him and he gave. Also, he gave when he was tired. He was asleep in the boat with his head on a pillow. And the disciples woke him and then he calmed the storm. So he helps even when he's tired. Because Jesus knew his mission. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, if only it was as easy as just being like Jesus. The problem is we ourselves get in the way, don't we, of that giving journey. We can give of ourselves to look good. To impress others. We can try to pay back God in good deeds. I'm in his debt, so I need to pay him back by earning his favour and the salvation. And I need to please him. That's when we get into problems. Have I done enough hard work for God for him to be pleased with me? I must work harder. We can be self-righteous like the Pharisee. Look at all I've done. Look at how much money I tithe. We're giving out of the wrong motive. Sometimes I think Joey owes me. And I might buy her some flowers. I know it's quite rare. But from time to time, I might buy her some flowers. And if I do, I think she owes me. I think she owes me Pick-a-Mix. Because I really like Pick-a-Mix, and often I give because I want something back. My giving has got hooks in it. I give flowers to get back Pick-a-Mix. This is not a revelation to Jo. She knows this already. And actually, she gives me far more Pick-a-Mix than I give her flowers. Because she does it with the right motive. If I gave out of my manipulation, would I enjoy the gift anyway? If you give out of manipulation, do you enjoy it anyway? There is something to be said about the heart in which you give. God loves a generous giver. So how is it done? Is there a key to all of this? I think there is, even though I've not cracked it myself. The key is take from God. Give to others. Take from him. He says he's the bread of life, come and eat of him. He's the living water, come and drink it. He says, you know, ask for your daily bread. Jesus withdrew and prayed for power, for energy, for strength in his humanity. Take from God. Some people think, you know, praying about yourself is selfish, rubbish. It is not. Because if you're praying about yourself, then surely prayer in its very nature improves you. So why would it be selfish if the result is you're better for others? Praying for yourself is not selfish. Not praying for yourself is selfish. Not praying for yourself is selfish. Because if we are spending time with God, praying for ourselves, getting his energy and resources and who he is, then we can be a giver. You know already you can't do it in human strength. People are really annoying, aren't they? You need energy. You need life. You need power from God. Take from him. Give to others. I think that's how it works. At least that's what I try, but I don't always get there. He's our power source. You see, there are two types of people in this world, aren't there? There are givers and there are takers, and we fit somewhere along that line. Maybe towards givers or towards takers. Let me tell you a little story that happened quite a while ago. I was at a bus stop, and I bought myself a portion of chips. And I was tucking into these chips, and next to me was someone that was cold and wet, and they looked like they wanted a chip. So I said, would you like a chip? And they took all my chips. So I went back into the chip shop and I bought myself another portion of chips, feeling fantastic. Because it's better to give than receive. There is benefit. And maybe that's why we do it sometimes. I don't know. Maybe that's a wrong motive. I don't know. I hadn't planned to give her my whole portion. She stole it from me. But when I got to the chip shop and bought another portion, I felt great that she had my chips. I really did. Let me tell you about my dad without crying. Dad was pretty much a taker. Mum obviously will know this. If you live to meet your own needs, then you're a taker. And he went off and he had an affair. He even played football on his wedding day. He was a taker. That's his life. One year, he came to Africa with us. And we built houses for the poor. And I don't know what happened. I don't even think he met God. Well, he must have met God in some way. But I don't think he embarked on a personal relationship with him out there. I don't know. But he came back as a giver. He went as a taker. He came back as a giver. He went round his little cul-de-sac in his house, mowing everybody's lawns. He would never have done that before Africa. He was building fences for them. He spent loads of time round the gate doing it up. None of it for money. But he was captured by something that he became a giver. He was so much happier as a giver than he was as a taker. If you're miserable, then start giving. My dad was so much happier as a giver than he was as a taker. We give well, don't we, when we give out of love. If we give to get something back off somebody else, it doesn't work because we're a taker then anyway. It only works when we give out of love. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's all about giving. That's our calling. Do you know what the best way you can give is? It's to tell someone about Jesus. Because if we're all wearing white t-shirts and they're all wearing those t-shirts, we want non-Christians to wear white t-shirts, don't we? We want them to know the gospel. So the ultimate way you can give is to share the gospel with someone. That's the ultimate. The ultimate way you can take is to never share it. So if you think you were given, you've never shared the gospel, you're a taker. Simple as that. Right, these are some quotes of people in the office, because I often like people to do my preaches for me. Okay, so we're just coming to land now with some of their quotes. So Spade said this to me. Is he here? I'm not sure he's here. He said this to us in the office. I like givers because you feel like you're on an equal footing. You can talk about anything. It's like a versatile friendship. Someone you can have a laugh with. Laughing's important. They give to you. And this is what he said about takers. They're people that moan and complain and interrupt you all the time. Someone who is really negative, only negative, all the time. I think fake takers are people that are fake and they drain you. Somebody else said, life history can foster the giver or the taker in you. Are people that are spoilt more likely to be takers? Joyce said, you need to provide opportunities to serve. So she was talking about her children, about she needs to find them opportunities to serve so they can learn to be a giver. Oh, Anna walked in at that moment. The ability to put other people first is a gift from my mother. Difficult upbringing can make you go one of two ways. You can want to help people if you haven't had the help yourself, or you can become a taker because you feel you deserve it. Some people find it harder to receive things than give things. I'm not worthy to receive it, so they become a giver. It's an interesting one, isn't it? That's Angela said that one. Is someone who takes all their life satisfied? And I'm just going to end with some quotes. For it is in giving that we receive. That's Francis of Assisi. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's Picasso. It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. That's Mother Teresa. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's Proverbs. And I met up with Tim during the week, didn't we, Tim? We had a nice cooked breakfast. Yeah, it was lovely. Feeling it. And Tim is talking about his own dining table. And he said, you know, if you've got a dining table with six chairs and four are empty, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he challenged me and thought about challenging you guys about, how about giving yourself some giving challenges this week? Some giving challenges. How will you give? If you're already a giver, that won't even make sense to you because you're already doing it all the time. But if you're a taker, how about giving yourself some giving challenges this week? Thank you very much for listening. If I've sounded like I'm judging you, I'm not. I'm on the journey myself. And a lot of the time, I'm doing a lot of the taking. But I'm trying to be a giver. And my encouragement is to take first from God and then give to others. And I would encourage you to do that. Take from God. Take all you can. Then give to others. And if you really want to give, share the gospel. Because that's the best way you can give. Amen.